She's real fine, my 409. She's real fine, my 409, my 409. Well, I save my pennies and I save my dimes.
And welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. Hot rods hit the scene back in the 1930s. Their enduring popularity continues to drive owners and fans to preserve these mobile pieces of history. This weekend, the campus of the Kansas City Art Institute will once again be transformed into a classic car lover's dreamland for its Art of the Car Concourse event. The star among the 200 vintage, classic, and special interest vehicles on display is the Hot Rod. Today, a look at all this and even more happenings in Kansas City with our weekend to-do list. With us today to explore the long road of Hot Rod history are Ken Gross. He's the guest curator of the Art of the Concourse event. Ken, nice to have you. Welcome.
Nice to be here, Steve. Thank you.
And Marshall Miller is also back. He's the event organizer. Marshall, welcome.
Thank you.
Well, Ken, why hot rods? And I guess maybe the question is, why not, right?
Well, hot rods are truly an American institution.
Yes, they are.
And they have an enduring popularity. They might have dipped a little bit in the 70s when you could buy a stock car that was quicker, but American Graffiti reminded everybody what we missed, and hot rods are hotter than ever now.
You know, when I think, Marshall, of hot rods, I tend to think of California. So how popular is the hot rod around these parts?
Extraordinarily popular. There's a very large number of people in Kansas City that are solely focused on hot rods. One of the key iconic shops for hot rods in Southern California, Pete and Jake's, was bought by a family in Kansas City and moved to Peculiar, Missouri, and
really?
Is there now with two of their original 50s hot rods they made that'll be in the show. So there's a strong Kansas City foundation for hot rods.
So if they're popular here, Marshall, I'm guessing they're popular just about anywhere, right?
They really are, and one of the most interesting aspects are the major collectors, the individuals around the United States that have large collections of 15, 20, 50, 100 or more vehicles uniformly now all have one, two, or three hot rods in their collection.
And Ken, if they collect them, does that mean they drive them too, or do they just collect?
Well, I drive mine.
I've
got a 32 Ford, and I love driving it. Whether it's cars and coffee or a longer trip, I mean, it's still a very viable automobile. I wanted it when I was 17. I'm a little older than that now. I still get a kick every time I'm in it.
Do you take it out and let it rip sometimes?
You bet.
Where do you go?
I do. Cars and coffee on a Saturday morning with my teenage daughter is a family tradition. But I've gone on long trips with it. When I lived on the West Coast, I took it from Manhattan Beach up to San Francisco. And it's perfectly tractable at highway speeds. In fact, my car has a Ford flathead, and my Chevy-powered club members all said, you go ahead in that tea kettle. When you boil over or break, it'll be fine. The next stop, it was, do you know how fast you're going? You're doing 80-plus in that thing. So,
Marshall,
yes, you can
drive
them.
Where do you go around here if you want to take a hot rod and open it up somewhere and do it without worry of law enforcement breathing down your neck?
Well, I really don't think I want to identify the particular streets, but if people stop and think about it, there are some places, maybe just a little south of where we're at right now on Troost, further out.
Really?
Where there are some open areas that do not have a lot of people around. But the other part of it, because I love to drive my vintage cars, is just driving on regular streets early on a Sunday morning, quietly, left-hand turn, right-hand, just enjoying being out in a vintage vehicle.
Well, Ken, this is a very public radio question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What's the definition of a hot rod? And maybe one answer is, if you have to ask if a car is a hot rod, maybe it isn't. But how do you define what?
It was a pejorative term in the 40s and 50s because there was too much street racing. The name itself, no one knows in all the literature where hot rod came from. They think it might be a kind of a contraction of hot roadster because the original hot rods were mostly open two-seaters, but
right.
No one really knows. To my way of thinking, the definition is a car that somehow you've made better, quicker, more attractive, more interesting, and you've either done it yourself or you've had some skilled help from someone.
So it has to have what to make it a hot rod, Marshall?
It really needs to be different than the standard sedan
yeah.
or convertible. And
yeah.
how far you go is up to the individual. Some people just go ever so slightly, so the vehicle on the street doesn't look a lot different than a regular Mercury, except when you press on the accelerator, it goes twice as fast.
Mm-hmm.
Flip yeah. side, people say, I'm cutting it all completely up. I'm making it just like Kookie's Hot Rod on 77 Sunset Strip, Kookie 2, which we will have on the grounds of the show. The hot rod that was shown in 77 Sunset Strip that was Ed Burns' hot rod.
This is the biggest show you've done in terms of number of cars, right?
It is. We actually created more spaces, even though we turned down a lot of people. It was too overwhelming, and so we'll have 220 vehicles of automobiles, trucks, for the first time a couple of vintage tractors, pedal cars, which I love, original and unrestored as well as restored, and over 32 vintage motorcycles going back to the early turn of the century. Two of them unique. There are no others. One of them made in Kansas.
And give us the event particulars here. It opens when?
It opens at 10 a.m. on Sunday, this Sunday at the Kansas City Art Institute, 10 to 4. For a few dollars extra, you can get in at 8:30 in the morning. I strongly urge people to come early because we had 5,000 people last year. It gets a little crowded later on, so the earlier you can come, the better. If you want just to watch, cars will start going on the grounds of the Art Institute at 6 a.m. to be placed 1 minute from 6 a.m. to 9:30. Just stand on the street outside and watch the cars drive up.
Well, why do you do it on Sunday, begin at Sunday? Why not do it Saturday, too?
Sunday, the issue is all the people from out of town.
Oh, they got to get here.
And we have from 15 states, 79 cities. So the vehicles have to arrive, and Sunday is a traditional day for concours. On Saturday, we close off a street in the plaza. If you want to come down and just see the road between Tivoli's and Halls on the plaza is closed on Saturday morning. The entire morning, we put 15 cars that will be on the show the next day out there free. And a lot of the TV stations and radio stations
yeah.
come down to look at stuff. And then in the afternoon, we have Ken and others on Meet the Legends at UMKC, where they're going to talk about the real history. All of this is online at www.artofthecarconcours. You can buy tickets or buy tickets as you walk up.
Hey, what's the one car I've got to see, Ken, this weekend? What do you recommend?
Well, my favorite out there is probably the Doan Spencer Roadster, which was originally started around 1940. It was featured at the Pebble Beach Concours in 1997. It's a hot rod that was built by a guy whose nickname was Mr. Brackett. He could build anything, and he built pretty much the quintessential Deuce Roadster. And by the way, speaking of Deuce Roadsters, the U.S. Post Office Service has just issued 2 hot rod stamps with 32
really?
Roadsters. So you can go to your post office and put a hot rod on your letters.
Well, who invented the hot rod? Did somebody? Do we know?
We have no idea, really.
It sort of just developed.
Back
right?
in the 1920s, when you could buy a Model T Ford fairly cheaply, people would strip them down, maybe put speedster bodies on them.
Even with Model Ts?
Started with Model Ts.
So it started even with the advent of the automobile then?
Pretty much. I mean, there was always somebody who wanted to make his car faster, thought he could make it better looking, and the speed equipment manufacturers quickly sprang up to sell you a 2-carburetor manifold or a hotter camshaft or better ignition. So it just grew and grew. In California, they had the dry lakes to the north and east of Los Angeles. So they had a natural place to race, which took a lot of kids off the streets where they were, unfortunately, street racing.
Yeah.
But then drag racing and the National Hot Rod Association came along in the early 50s. And with their safety safari, they went all around the country establishing drag strips with local authorities. So they made it a much safer, even a family sport, if you will.
So you bought your first hot rod when?
I was 15.
When you were 15?
Yes. Yeah,
Marshall, how about you?
My first vintage vehicle wasn't purchased until about 25 years ago. I always lusted after them, but I never took the time.
But, did you have a hot rod as a kid?
No.
You didn't
I did
go
not.
There.
What I had as a kid was a maiden aunt died and gave me a 1960 Ford Falcon, which while I didn't touch the engine, I put now I'm thinking about it, it's cute. I put fake knockoff hubs on it, redid the interior, painted the lights inside red to be like a BMW, and put one Lucas flamethrower light in the center of the front of the car. Made it very cool.
You know, every year when you guys come on, I'm just absolutely fascinated by the idea of just it, this speaks so loudly and clearly to America's love of the automobile, and it just seems to no end to it, Ken.
Well, I think you have the car gene or you don't.
Yeah.
If you actually are involved with old cars, but for a lot of people, seeing an old car moving down the street in a with all the sort of streamlined modern traffic, an old car stands out, and people look and they're interested. Maybe they're even kind of envious. They'd like to be part of that. So we encourage recruits wherever we can.
Yeah, exactly. Are there clubs in town for folks who collect and drive hot rods?
There are over 200 vehicle clubs in Kansas City. All 200. Manner. Yes.
200.
All manner. Every kind of vehicle you can imagine. Model A's, Model T's, Hot rods, I had no idea. Mustangs, Falcon, you name it, and they all get together on Saturday morning somewhere for breakfast. Veteran Car Club of America, Jaguar, Mercedes, Porsche, BMW, anything you can imagine. This city, because Henry Ford's second assembly plant was the Ford plant in 1912 that he bought from another bankrupt automaker in Kansas City, and then GM came in 23. These two plants are two of the biggest that the big three have in the country. Now work three shifts. We have a huge culture of motor vehicles here, and the vintage
200
cars.
Clubs. I can't believe that.
No, yeah. Absolutely.
Where do you all meet every Saturday morning? Is there one place?
We go to a coffee shop called Katie's in Great Falls, Virginia, and there's typically between 250 and 300 cars there, and they can be sports cars, they can be modern high-performance cars, they can be hot rods, they can be almost everything.
Around here, where do they meet, Marshall?
There are multiple restaurants all over, north, in Johnson County, in Kansas City. The clubs have their own schedules. There are groups. I just heard about someone at the one group that takes over all the shopping center parking lots at 91st and Metcalf.
Do car owners, do they tend to cross sort of all demographic lines or not?
Yes, absolutely.
Just different people of different walks
absolutely.
Of life, people are into cars.
In our concourse, I work very, very hard. This is not elitist. Our ticket prices are modest. I want kids to be there, so 15 and younger are free. We had over 200 last year. I want families. But we have vehicles on the field today or on Sunday that cost $4,000. We have vehicles that are valued at $10 million.
Yeah.
They may be right next to each other. That's what I try to do is mix and match a lot.
We're talking about Hot Rods, an event this week, and from 10 to 4 on Sunday. Earlier, if you want to get a VIP ticket at the Kansas City Art Institute, it's the Art of the Car Concourse. Again, this year, the focus is on Hot Rods. What are the advantages and disadvantages, Marshall, of hosting Art of the Car Concourse at the Kansas City Art Institute? Why there?
Why there is the Art Institute is one of the real treasures of Kansas City, in my view, and my late wife's view. She was on the board for 20 years. She worked at the Kansas City Star as financial editor at one point.
She's really legit then.
She's really legit.
Yeah, there
no
you go.
No issue about it.
Yeah.
But the flip side of it is that scholarship money is the hardest money to raise for an institution. And this institution has been in Kansas City since 1886. And one of the things besides putting six figures into their scholarship fund that we raise, because we don't have any big ways of getting money, so it's hard work. We also bring 5,000 people to the grounds of the Kansas City Art Institute. Most people haven't even been there. It's one block west of the Nelson Gallery, but you're walking in an institution that's been around for a very long time and is a beautiful place, and we just feel very strongly about raising money for the Kansas City Art Institute Scholarship Fund. Likewise, people that have these cars do not have another venue for an event, which is by invitation only, and there is nothing like this in our understanding from Detroit to California. It just doesn't happen in this part of the country.
How tough is it to convince people to bring their vehicles, whether it's a hot rod 1 year or a different kind of car a different year? How hard is it to convince them to show up here on a Sunday morning in Kansas City?
Well, there are a number of people who love car shows. There are others who maybe aren't quite as enthusiastic, and they're the people that you have to remind them that we're not the owners of these cars. We're really the custodians. And if you are lucky enough to own one, sharing it with other people is something you should consider.
Are they pretty willing to do it?
For the most part, I think a lot of people are, yes.
And do you keep track of who owns what so you know who to go out and invite? Is there a list somewhere that you
refer
to?
Well, there are club registries that have people all over the country they'll tell you what they own. But a lot of this is having a really good Rolodex, you know,
yeah.
Knowing who to call and when to call. And for a lot of people, I mean, this is my first time in Kansas City at this event, and I'm excited to see what a beautiful city this is. I've had the tour, but for a lot of people who own important cars, they love going to a new place where people don't know them, don't know their cars. They have a chance to, in this case, stand by their car and kind of explain what it is, meet people, and share.
So with a vehicle like these collector's items, do the owners tend to drive them to the Art Institute, or do they end up putting them on a truck and hauling them here?
I think it's a mix. You know, some people like to drive their cars, but for a show day, if you want the car to be totally pristine and perfect, you might trailer it.
Okay, let's go to some phone calls. 816-235-2888. Howard from Overland Park. Howard, you're on Up to Date. Our topic today, hot rods. Good morning.
Good morning. Whatever happened to Bobby Darin's dream car? I haven't heard about it in over 50 years. Where is its whereabouts? Have either of you, did you ever meet Big Daddy Roth or Mickey Thompson? And finally, whatever happened to the 58 Chevy? I've seen about one last 40 years. There's something unusual that happened to it, and I thank you for your time.
Yeah, Bobby Darin's dream car was on in our show 3 years ago.
Oh, really?
We're going to bring it back again. It's in the St. Louis Transportation Museum, sitting in a corner. Nope. That Transportation Museum is out in the county in St. Louis. We had it 3 years ago on the field.
Describe it to us.
It is an extraordinary car that was totally custom bodied, has had large fins that were probably 5 feet high in back. I'm trying to remember the Darin name was attached to it. There's quite a history. It was a guy in Detroit that actually ended up paying the owner. Darin didn't. There's a whole background, but it's a beautiful body on a fairly stock chassis, as I recall.
Well, why don't car makers produce cars with the big fins and some of the flamboyant features that we associate so often with vintage cars? I mean, what happened to all that? I mean, why not?
Well, back in the days of fins, that was a very distinctive way in the 50s to kind of adapt what they thought was aircraft technology. On very few of these cars did the fins really were not they weren't functional. They
there was
really
no purpose to them,
like
spoilers.
Right.
Yeah.
There were a few show cars like the Ghia Gilda, where they actually were tested in a wind tunnel. But people thought they looked great in that era. Today they would just look very dated. Today we're looking at cars that are extremely aerodynamic, almost like so many bars of soap in some ways. And it's a challenge to carve the identity in so that when you're looking at it, you know what it is. Personally, I love that fin era. 1959, those Cadillac towers were extraordinary, but we'll never see them again.
Because why?
They're so dated. They're truly dated. They would just look bizarre, and they probably would not be functional in any way. And today you want a car with a very low coefficient of drag, and fins are not going to help.
Not going to help with that.
We have about half a dozen large fin cars on the field this year. One of them from Overland Park is a black Chrysler Imperial convertible, drop-dead gorgeous, that was owned by one of the Mayo brothers from the Mayo Clinic.
Oh, wow.
And it has a 45 RPM record player in the front dash.
No kidding.
Drop-dead gorgeous, beautiful car.
Well, the Art of the Car Concourse will be this weekend, Sunday, from 10 to 4 at the Kansas City Art Institute. You can go to our website, kcur.org, to get some more information. I want to thank Ken Gross, the guest curator for this year's event, and Marshall Miller, the event organizer. Good luck this weekend, guys. Always appreciate you guys coming in.